method. She was wrong. Sand people added to their birth wrap as they grew. Each new patch a testament to their defiance and survival. If a pebble got into the wrappings, it was simply layered over. The carbuncle it caused became a reminder of the past. A funnel plant simply grew new skin over its wounds. A Tuscan could do the same. But Yark understood that defeat was just another sore sand people lived with. Defeats had to be felt, each and every one, and remembered. And in the days since the massacre at the gorge, a Yark had felt it every time she opened her eye. The survivors in the pillars were pathetic, clinging to life like lichen. The first few days had been the worst, with the remaining handful of warriors making pitiful forays to find hubba gourds. Proud raids indeed. The arguments followed. Those posed less danger to a Yark now, since most of her rivals were dead. But hapless elders walking in circles decrying their fates irritated her greatly. And finally, the sacred well in the pillars, usually reliable, was dry most days now. The clan's need hadn't been reduced much by the massacre. A herd of ownerless banthas remained, and it made no sense to butcher them, whatever tradition said. The warriors had blamed a Yark and the failed raid for the water problems too, despite the fact that word was filtering in of similar issues for other clans elsewhere. If Tatooine had grown angry with its tenants, all sand people were suffering, not just one tribe. A Yark had no time for recriminations. For while keeping the group from dissolving had taken most of her time, she had still found spare hours for the important thing, keeping watch on Ben. The human's lair was close, farther to the west, along the northern face of the Jundland. A Yark had found it easily. The winds had been light, and while Ben had shown guile in his attempts to hide his footsteps, no one could track like a Tuscan. Ben had not returned to the oasis in many days. A Yark had wondered about that. Didn't he protect the human woman, Annalene? The compound was her home. Had she moved to his? A Yark didn't know, but wasn't about to venture to the oasis to find out. That would be madness now. One day, however, a Yark had spotted Ben riding east. There were cities that way, but he wasn't taking the fastest route. Rather, he kept to the ridgeline, avoiding contact with settlements. Unable to range far without leaving her defenseless clan behind, a Yark had lost him. So instead, she sat with her bantha and waited, and watched. Ben returned the next day to his home. His only cargo was the camping gear he'd taken with him. Whatever his trip east had been, it wasn't a supply run. What drove a human? A Yark wished she had spent more time listening to Sherrod Het. He had been unwilling to talk about his earlier life with the outsiders. That, after all, was what had driven him to join the Tuscans. She hadn't even asked Kishik many questions. The Sand People had no interest in understanding their enemies. It was enough to know that they bled and died when attacked. But now, with the might of her band broken, a Yark needed to understand. This Ben wanted something, all beings did. It governed his habits and movements. Was the thing he wanted to the east? A Yark would have to consider that another time. The gourd gatherers were late in returning. They can't even do that right. A Yark finished sharpening the point of her Gaderfi and walked down from the pillars onto the desert floor. In the distant northeast, she saw a peculiar sight. One bantha after another appeared on the horizon. The eldest member of the foraging group rode the lead beast. The fourth and final bantha had a cable around its neck and was dragging something like a land speeder, except it was three times as long as any a Yark had ever seen. What now? Gaddafi raised in indignation. Ayark charged across the sand, trying to get the attention of the makeshift caravan. The hovercraft had a large flatbed surface in back, with something huge lying upon it. A vaporator tower. Ayark skidded to a halt. A young Tuscan was operating the vehicle, although certainly not as it was supposed to be operated. The thing lurched forward in fits and starts, bumping against the rear legs of the irritated Bantha in front of it. The machine was sparking with fumes rising from beneath its hood. This would likely be its last trip anywhere. The sight of a Yark caused the Bantha riders to stop. That in turn resulted in the land speeder again slamming into the rear Bantha. The animal screamed and kicked, its massive foot causing the hovering vehicle to bob and weave on the air. Ayark didn't know which warrior to smack first. She chose the one in the machine.
"A settler abandoned it," the would-be driver said.
"And you didn't kill him?"
The war leader's tone was enough. The young warrior bowed his head in shame.
"They fled. We thought the prize was more important."
"The prize?"
Ayark walked along the length of the flatbed.
"What are we to do with this?"
She smacked the vaporator with her Gaddafi, producing a loud clang.
"Are you Jawas now? Will you peddle trash for crumbs?" "It makes water,"
the warrior sitting atop the lead Bantha said.
"Water. We need... I know what it does."
Ayark leered at the metal abomination, astonished that any Tuscan didn't know the offense it represented to the natural order.
"Settlers defile the land with vaporators.